Morning, everyone, again. I'm sure you are all eager for Clifford to start the study again. And good to see him back here today. And maybe he will continue next week. But I am here today. During break time, I found that I broke my glasses. It only has one support. But without this, I cannot see anything. So I'm going to use this. And so don't laugh at me. Looks good? Okay, very good. Very good. Okay, now I can see. All right, we were looking at First Peter. And I might do this often. We are going to start from verse 9 today. Let me say from 10 on. First Peter chapter 1, verse 10. We're going to read up to 12. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. Of this salvation. Now, verse 9, Peter is touching on the subject of salvation. In verse 9, it says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And then in verse 10, he continues, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that it would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's what verse 9 says. The end of your faith doesn't mean the termination of the faith. The word end here does not mean the final point of a journey or a destination. It means the ultimate purpose of our faith, Peter says, is the salvation of our souls. And we indeed are promised in the scripture that the final consummation of our salvation will include the redemption of the body, but the first experience when we enter heaven happens when our souls fly to the presence of God. So receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And then we go down to verse 10. So these verses, verses 10, all of a sudden we see that Peter start talking about salvation. Now, how does this fit in with the previous portion that we looked at a few weeks on the subject of suffering? And we know that the main theme of First Peter is the suffering in a believer's life and how to handle it. So we have to ask, what is the topic of salvation has to do with a believer's suffering? So in other words, what is the connection between this verse and the verses we have been looking so far in this chapter? So when we begin to look at it, we will soon find out that our salvation and the subject of suffering are greatly connected together. And let's look at it a little closer. If we look at the beginning verses of this chapter, we see that Peter starts with some extremely heavy topics. I think I mentioned that before also, such as election, foreknowledge, redemption, sanctification of the Spirit, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now he talks about salvation. Now, shouldn't it be the other way around? You know, we talk about the basic things first and move on to heavy subjects. And we have to admit that salvation is one of the basic teachings of Christianity. But when we put this in the context of the subject of suffering, we will notice that the main focus of what Peter is going to tell us in these verses, if we can put this in a nutshell, is that somebody suffered and that resulted in our salvation, and he then was glorified. So just as Christ's suffering was not in vain, and because of it resulted in our salvation, suffering of a believer is also not in vain, but produced tremendous results. And one is that it will result in the molding of us to the image of the one who suffered and died for us. And at the end, the result is that just as he was glorified after suffering, we will also follow the path. Okay. So one of the reasons that Peter is bringing up the subject of salvation here is that he says, I was reading one of the commentaries about this. So one of the teachers, Bible teacher, says that Peter is anticipating some questions from the audience or from the readers. And so he's answering them here. And the question is, like, it can go through each one of our mind as we deal with the subject of suffering. We'll say, why am I not able to rejoice when I go through suffering? Like Peter was saying in the beginning verses. He said, Peter, I'm a Christian, and I like what you're saying about greatly rejoicing as I go through trials. And I'm not able to do it. I know I'm a Christian, but when I go through intense trials, deep waters, I seem like, you know, feel like I'm going to go under, feel like I'm going to get burned. I'm not able to rejoice. Have you ever asked that question in your own life? You know, we know what the Bible says. We know what Peter's saying. That you rejoice, your sorrow and joy exist together. But Peter, I'm not able to do it. So now Peter is going to bring out the subject of salvation. I'm going to tell us why, what you should keep in mind to go through these trials, these difficulties. So he's going to take us back to the subject of salvation and telling us that it is important for us to continually get back to the basic of what it means to be saved. When you can't seem to rejoice when you go through trials, it is a good thing to think about the basic, the gospel, and think about what it means to be a Christian. You know, with so many different religious beliefs in this world, how Christianity and the message of salvation differ. And we have to continually look back to it and appreciate what it means to be a Christian. You know, one of the uniqueness of Christianity is that, as I always remember, is that it tells you like it is, isn't it? It doesn't sugarcoat anything for you. And especially when it comes to the subject of suffering, it does not tell you that it is not real. It says it is real. And by experience, we know that it is real. Our natural tendencies, like Peter, before he learned the lesson on suffering, like what we looked at last week, it is natural for us to say, this will not happen to us. You know, that's what he told the Lord. This is not going to happen to you. I'm not going to allow this to happen to you. And that is why the prosperity gospel preachers have such great following, because it is natural for us to hear someone say that we can really avoid suffering. And there is a tremendous amount of wealth out there that acquire if you do the right things. So let's look further into these words. And then Peter talks about the salvation. He makes a couple of remarkable and incredible statements. And one of them is at the beginning of verse 10. And it says, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. And the second one, we find at the end of the verse, 12, and it is with things which angels desire to look into. So Peter is saying that the subject of salvation, it is not an ordinary subject to take it very lightly. So he says in verse 10, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. So it says here that the prophets have inquired. So this word is intensive searching, not just casual reading, casual inquiry, but it is intensive search. It means that they sought out or scrutinized with care the revelations made to them. And through this intense inquiry, they wanted to understand exactly what was implied, that which they were appointed to record in respect to salvation, which was made to be made known through the Messiah. So they were really had these curious inquiries they made, intense inquiries. Even though this salvation was the theme of the Old Testament prophets, they did not fully understand what they were writing. So this subject of salvation really boggles the mind of the prophets who wrote about it. And they could not really come to grip with what they were writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So they searched carefully and they made inquiries. They knew that these things were going to happen, but they did not know when. They knew that the Messiah would suffer, and out of the suffering, glories would follow. And through his suffering, salvation will reach to the end of the earth. Regardless of whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, salvation will reach even to the end of the earth. But their understanding was limited. Even after all the searching and inquiries, they were told that they are not really writing about something that is going to fulfill in their own time, but they are actually ministering to a generation that is yet to come. So think about this morning. The least disciple of Christ is in a better position to understand the Old Testament revelation than the greatest prophets before Christ came. The the least disciple of Christ is in a position, in a better position, to understand the Old Testament revelation than the greatest prophets before Christ came. I think that's a very staggering thought. The things that the prophets were inquiring and searching diligently and were trying to understand is now all plain and open before us. So how much should we value our salvation? And then it says, search diligently. And the word used here means to search out, to trace out, to explore. The idea is that they perceived that in their communication, there were some great and glorious truths which they did not fully comprehend. And they diligently employed their natural faculties to understand what they were appointed to do. So they searched diligently. So in verse 11, starts with saying, searching what? So that is examining their own predictions with care to make certain what they meant. So they apparently did not understand two things. One is they did not know the identity of the person who would appear as Messiah. And also they did not understand understand the time of his appearance, the person and the time. So Peter says they wanted to find out these things. And what did they do? So they studied them as we do the predictions which others have made. And through the prophets, they were the medium through which the truths were made known. And they were searching to find out who he would be, what would be his character, and what would be the nature of the work which he would perform. So there can be no doubt that they understood that their predictions were related to the Messiah, but still, it was such an interesting subject in the mind of any Jew as to understand what sort of person he would be and what would be the nature of the work which he would perform. So not only that they search regarding the person whom they are writing about, then it says, or what manner of time. So not to the exact time when these things would occur, but to the character or condition of the age when they would take place. Perhaps referring to the state of the world at that period, the preparation to receive the gospel, and the probable manner in which the great message would be received. Perhaps, however, the inquiry in their minds pertained to their time when the predictions would fulfill, as well as to the condition of the world when these events are going to take place. So then he goes on to say, the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ. You know that from Isaiah chapter 53 is a classic example of the suffering of Christ that were brought to us through the prophet Isaiah. It says, it is the Spirit of Christ, it was in them that testified. It was Christ who is telling us what is going to happen to him. But the prophets are writing about it. So they may not have a clear picture of his suffering, but there was much about those suffering which they wished to learn, as there is much still which we also desire to know. Then the next says, and the glory that should follow. And that is, they saw that there would be glory which would be a result of his suffering, but they did not clearly see what the glory would be. They had some knowledge that he would be raised from the dead. You see that in Psalm 16, 8 through 11. And they knew that he would see the travail of his soul and would be satisfied, Isaiah 53, 11. They had some large views of the effects of the gospel on the nations of the earth, like Isaiah 25, verse 7 through 8, and 66. But there were many things regarding his glorification which they did not clearly understand. So first, we see that the subject of salvation arose great curiosity in the mind of the prophets. And they searched, studied, inquired the subject of salvation. So the second thing Peter writing about is the subject of salvation, that it is a subject of great interest to the angels at the end of verse 12. Not only did the prophets inquire about the marvels of these things, but also the angels in heaven have a desire to look into the depths and the riches of the gospel. And we know that the angels have played a very vital role in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. They are mentioned in connection with the birth of Christ, his temptation, his agony in Gethsemane, his resurrection. But as far as we know, there is no redemption for the angels who are fallen, who have fallen. In Jude 6, we read that the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chain under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So Christ really did not come to intervene on behalf of angels, but on behalf of the descendants of Abraham. The church marvelously is a lesson to the angels, showing the manifold wisdom of God. So we know that the angels are eternal beings, and if you notice, Peter doesn't say that the angel desired, as in the past, but angels desires to look into. It is not that the angels were curious about it before it happened. And now they have moved on to other things, but it is a subject of continuous wonder and amazement for the angels. And the verb here Peter using is an action of straining, really, to see angels appearing, as it were, over the fortification of heaven to behold what God has done in Jesus Christ. So we are told that when one person repents, there is a joy in heaven among the angels. So the angels delight to watch the ministry of Christ unfolded in history. So they delight in observing the proving of our faith in the progress of our sanctification. So through these verses, Peter is telling us that anyone in Christ, anyone regardless of their measure of faith, regardless of their wealth, regardless of their social standing, regardless of their country of origin, regardless of their living, they have great advantage over the prophets of old, and they are in the process of experiencing now, even now, something that is of great and curious interest among the angels. So for those who are suffering, his message is that the only way you can get through extreme trials, as we had looked at four before, and this is the fifth, in order for you to get through extreme trials and difficulties, deep distress, is to think about our salvation with great interest, like the prophets of old, and look at it again and again, like the angels are doing. holding on to this, and this is the only way you actually find that going through deep distress sanctifies you instead of crushing. The only way going through furnace purifies you instead of consumes you. So the subject of salvation that Peter is bringing from verse 9 to 12 is something that we can really meditate on, and which sometimes we do think salvation is a basic subject and we move on to better and bigger things. But it's to think, we every Sunday we think about the body that was broken and the blood that was shed for our redemption, the way we are saved. So it is good to go back, and there was a great price was paid for each one of you to be here, to enjoy his presence, to see him glorified, to see him exalted among the believers. So I will stop there, and we will continue the rest at a later time. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning time that we could come together and, Father, look into thy word. And First Peter, and Father, thank you for the instructions that are given in thy word through Peter, that those who are going through great trials and sufferings, Father, the way for us to handle a believer these things are to look into thy word, look into the salvation, look what God has prepared for us, look at the great inheritance that you have given us, look at the position that we are exalted to. We are seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. And Father, help us to endure the trials and difficulties of this world and consider it as just a moment, like Paul. And Father, to go on for an eternity that is waiting for us. And there is no trials, no tears. And we will spend our eternity with the Lord who suffered to secure the salvation for us. Father, pray that I may be with each one of us, and thank you for the message this morning that we have heard from our dear brother. We are so thankful to you for all that thou hast done for us. And Father, help us not to ever forget how great you are. Send us home with your blessing till we meet again, Father. We pray all these in the very precious and holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.